Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We have the On the Bluff podcast, releases every single Tuesday at noon, where we cover Tigers, we cover everything under the sun, some NFL as well. But make sure you check that out. It's on Apple, Spotify, full-length video version on YouTube. We have C. Fowler, BCM on X. Christian, what's happening, man?
Oh, nothing too much. How are you doing, Gabe?
I'm hanging in there, brother. I'm hanging in there. We're closer to college football, so I can't
be
bad.
We're in the right month.
I can't
we're
be bad.
Right
and also,
now.
we have preseason NFL. What did you think of the Hall of Fame game?
Honestly, I did not watch it. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's cool. Football is like officially about to get back, but I'm not watching third stringers play in Canton. Just not what I'm going to do.
Well, man, you sound like a NFL preseason Scrooge. I don't like that. What has happened to you?
I'm not a preseason Scrooge at all. Like, I usually watch a fair amount of preseason games, but the Hall of Fame game, I'm not typically tuning in for. Like, I know, with as big as a football fan as I am, it's kind of sacrilegious for me to say that, but I really don't start watching preseason football until it's actually preseason football and not just the Hall of Fame.
So you're still tuned into the Olympics?
Yes, I'm still more on the Olympic bandwagon than the Hall of Fame game bandwagon. But as soon as preseason starts, I think it starts on Thursday night, like truly week one of the preseason actually starts on Thursday night, then I'll be a little bit more dialed into the preseason. But the Hall of Fame game, I think I've tuned in maybe twice in my life, and both of them were because the Cowboys were playing.
Okay, I hear you. I understand. And we didn't even get to see the starting quarterbacks for either of those teams. That was kind of a bummer. No C.J. Stroud, no Caleb Williams. I'll say the Bears better play Caleb Williams a pretty fair amount in the preseason. We're gonna have to learn who he is. He's got to get used to the speed of the NFL. He's going to get caught a little bit more when he gets out of the pocket, breaks the pocket. And he's going to have to learn how to take plays and end them sometimes. Throw the ball away, check it down, not try to make a big play downfield every single time he has the ball in his hands.
Yeah, just to be completely clear, if those two guys were playing, even if Caleb Williams was playing, I would have at least tuned in for the first couple of drives. But knowing that we weren't going to see C.J. Stroud and what he could potentially look like in year two, or Caleb Williams and what he could potentially look like in year one, it just wasn't alluring to me. But I think you're definitely right. Yes, training camp reps are great. Joint practices are great. But actually getting to feel the game simulation of what it'll be like, going through a game day, going through warm-ups, going through all those things, I think is really important for all rookies to get that feeling before the actual regular season. But for a quarterback in particular, it's extremely important. Even if, you know, Keenan Allen probably wouldn't play, DJ Moore, he probably wouldn't have his two starting receivers, but I would imagine Roma Dunze would play with being a rookie also. So I think that would help him. And then, like you're saying, just game management on the NFL level is going to be much different than it was in the Pac-12 playing against really a lot of
Colorado, defense, you know, something like that.
The Pac-12 has never been known for defense, and so he didn't see a lot of defense there at USC, maybe a little bit more in his time at Oklahoma during his freshman season. But it'll be a big adjustment for him. Like you're saying, he kind of had a knack for, at the collegiate level, extending plays too much, trying to look for the big play, not really checking it down, or just kind of the cliche, living to fight another down or living to fight another play. He didn't really have much of that in him. He was kind of always searching for the big play. And as we know, you can't do that at the NFL level and excel. You'll have some really big splash plays, but you'll make a lot more mistakes. So I think we should see a hefty amount of him in the preseason. And I think that will obviously help him going into the actual week one, which is right around a month away now, Gabe.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, let's go to college, because we have a good quarterback here in Memphis by the name of Seth Hennigan, who's already the all-time leading passer in Memphis history, Memphis football history. But it's kind of funny. I know that you and I get annoyed with legacy talk all the time, but considering, like, we've heard Tim Kramsey talk about it, heard Ryan Silverfield talk about it, this is such a legacy-building year for Seth Hennigan. If he wants to take those record books and have those records mean a whole lot more, this year matters a whole lot. What are you going to do, this year as a team? Are you going to get to an AAC championship? Are you going to win an AAC championship? Are you going to be the college football playoff representative for the group of five? I hate that, you know, this is what sports does to us. But this is a massive legacy-building year for Seth Hennigan, and he could be sort of in that top spot of this great run of quarterbacks we've seen between Brady White, Riley Ferguson, Paxton Lynch, and him. He could take that top spot if this year goes according to plan.
This is the season where the stats and the accolades have an opportunity to coincide. Obviously, he has the stats. He's been able to start for multiple years now after starting as a true freshman. So all the numbers are there to be a great legacy quarterback at the University of Memphis. But the accolades have to be there. Yes, there have been some bowl wins, but they've been mid to low tier bowl wins, with the biggest one being this past year in the Liberty Bowl. But there's been no marquee big win in his career, I would argue. There hasn't been one. There hasn't been. You can look back at the other quarterbacks, and they all had staple wins in their career, whether it was, you know, Brady White in the AAC championship game, whether it was knocking off an SEC program for Riley or Paxton, or winning bigger bowl games against more quality opponent, whatever the case may be, Seth does not have a linchpin win in his career. And what was Mississippi State? Was that his freshman year, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep.
And I guess you could make a little bit of an argument there, but you weren't really playing against a high-caliber SEC team, and it was it's not lasting to me. That's not right. One that, like, when I think of Brady White, I think of the back-to-back win against Cincinnati. I think of College Game Day coming to town against SMU with, you know, two top 15, two top 20 programs in the country. Like, there are marquee moments for these other quarterbacks that are in the discussion, and Seth doesn't have that. And a lot of that has been just overall team success. The team hasn't, you know, been in a position to do things like that, to host a game day, to go to an AAC championship game. But he has to be the one to will them to those things, because the talent around him now, I believe, is warranted for Memphis to be in a conference championship, to be in the discussion for landing the college football playoff spot for a group of five school. It is all in front of him. Memphis was picked to finish first in the conference. Memphis was right outside the top 25 in the coaches poll that came out on Monday. So it's all right there for him. The talent is there offensively and defensively for him to mesh the stats with the big time marquee accolades. And so you're 100% right. This is a pure legacy building seat, is the definition of that for Seth Hennigan this year.
Yeah, and I will say the expectations continue. We had the USA Today coaches poll get published yesterday, and Memphis is in that sort of 30th spot, if you will, and others receiving votes. They had 44 votes. They were the highest ranked group of five team in that poll. And then right behind them, Boise State had 30 votes. I think Liberty had like 12 votes. When we look around the group of five, who is the other team or the other teams that really give you the pause where you're saying, okay, those teams have a massive, massive opportunity to leapfrog Memphis and get themselves into the college football playoff?
I think the two main teams that everyone's going to point to, and I don't think they're wrong in this at all, are Boise State and Liberty. And we've talked a lot in previous weeks and today already about Seth and what the quarterback position means, especially at the collegiate level. Well, those two guys have quarterbacks that can compete in that conversation.
Yep.
And we look at Caden Salter and Malachi Nelson, who is a former – is it Malachi Nelson? Or
Malachi Nelson.
Malachi Nelson. Okay, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Who was a former five-star quarterback and will be in his sophomore season. So it's those two teams for me because they have potentially elite level – you have a potentially elite level quarterback in Malachi Nelson. Then you have a quarterback in Caden Salter who's already proved that he can be elite. But when you look at those two teams individually, I think Boise State on paper is probably a better overall top-to-bottom team.
Sure.
But the thing about Liberty is they play nobody.
No one.
They don't really have too many bumps in the road. It would have to pretty much be an upset for them to lose a game. So if they go undefeated and win a conference championship, how does the committee keep them out? Even if, let's say, Memphis loses two games during the regular season and wins the AAC championship, how do they balance that out? You know, like how does that get sorted out if you have an undefeated group of five team that won their conference championship and then you have a 10-win conference champion in the American, which is a better conference, but they didn't go undefeated. And so then you have some of those difficulties. So I think Liberty truly is the bigger threat to Memphis just because their schedule is so easy. And then also the elite quarterback play helps them out.
Yeah, and the one thing about Boise State, the reason I'm not as worried is you have to see them against Washington State. They're going to have to deal with UNLV on the road, and UNLV is coming off one of the best years in program history, if not the best year in program history. They have Oregon and Oregon State as well on their schedule. Like, they have there's way more of an opportunity for them to slip up and lose a couple of games to keep Memphis in this fight than there is with Liberty. Liberty's toughest game is on the road against App State, and I'm not saying they're not capable of losing that game. App State is always capable of handling business, but that's it. Like, Liberty's right. Toughest game outside of that in the non-cons against East Carolina. You know, we right. know that East Carolina, they have Jake Garcia, the transfer quarterback from Mizzou, and maybe he can be solid. But East Carolina's been struggling for quite a while now.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with that take. Because you can see, there's a world where you can see in the range of outcomes, Boise State losing 2 to 4 games, and you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised if they were a 10-win team. You wouldn't be surprised if they were an 8-win team.
Right.
You wouldn't be surprised if they won the Mountain West. I mean, there are a lot, to me, there are a lot more range of outcomes for Boise State than for Liberty. Like, Liberty, it's hard to see them losing more than potentially a game, which would probably just be a slip-up. Like you said, whether that's on the road at App State, or an inferior team that just comes in and everything falls right for them and they end up winning that game. So, to me, if you're down to a 3 or 4 loss team, or a 3 or 4 loss Boise State team and a 1 loss Liberty team, I think you got to be more scared of Liberty just because the schedule is so easy. And then also going back to that quarterback conversation, because we know how important that is at the collegiate level, Malachi Nelson obviously has a ton of talent, but he's not someone we've seen much from. So we don't know how that will translate in his first year as a starter at Boise State.
Yep.
But Caden Salter is proven. Like, we know what he's going to be. And if he takes another level, another step up and goes into another level this year, that makes Liberty even more dangerous. So to me, it comes down schedule, quarterback. I'd be more scared of Liberty than Boise State.
And I do get the sense if you had a 1-loss Liberty and a 2-loss Memphis, or a undefeated Liberty and a 1-loss Memphis, having the only loss at Florida State, I get the sense that Memphis would probably get the lean over them, but if you have that two-game difference in losses or wins, that's where you start to get into a struggle, because we saw that last year. Liberty, because they were undefeated, they ended up getting in over the Tulanes and SMUs of the world to the New Year's Six Bowl because those teams had two losses already. Even though they were AAC conference championship caliber football teams, SMU ended up winning. They just had too many losses there on the board. But if there's that one loss difference, do you agree with me? It seems like an AAC team or a Mountain West team would be able to get over top of Liberty if Liberty has that one loss.
Let me ask you something. How different is it if Memphis loses to Florida State versus another team? Because I think if that loss is Florida State, you feel really good about it. If that loss is not Florida State, then some things could creep in.
Well, but also we have to take into consideration if you're 11-1 or 12-1 and you beat Florida State, I think Florida the committee State. Takes that into consideration pretty heavily. Because then you would have probably been a top 25 team most of the year.
Most of the year, yeah, because you get that win early. So I would agree. I think if you're one loss Memphis team versus an undefeated Liberty team, both teams win conference championships, you would have to put Memphis in over Liberty, in my just based off of strength of schedule, quality of opponent, because in that case, Memphis is either going to beat Florida State and lose to someone else, or lose to Florida State and beat the rest of the field and win a conference championship. So they would win, what, like eight or nine games in a row?
Yeah.
So they'd be extremely hot going down the stretch. That loss would be early in the season where it doesn't weigh as much because you kind of ran the table down the stretch. So I agree. One loss versus undefeated, I think Memphis gets that bid. But if you're two loss team, if you're 10-2 with a conference championship, so 11-2 versus a 13-0 Liberty, it would be really hard not to put the undefeated team in over a two win team.
Yeah. Now, one thing I'm really excited for, just generally speaking, is obviously we have week zero and two more Saturdays. But, like, I just think we need to get to a Saturday. We need to see some ball because we have the Michigan notice of allegations, and we're talking about are they going to have a national championship revoked, taken away by the NCAA? Are they going to deal with suspensions? We still are dealing with transfer portal. We're still dealing with NIL and all the unintended consequences of that, and those are still the conversations until we actually see a Saturday. Once we see a Saturday, everybody forgets about that. We have short-term memory loss, and I like that. Because we always talk about the issues with college football, but once we actually see it on the field, we stop caring altogether and we watch.
Oh, yeah. All will be forgotten once college football season starts, and we are barreling towards it. It feels like we've been kind of alluding to it for a while now, but we are close. Like I said, we're in the month where football starts. Even if it is on the last day of the month, week one at least starts at the end of August. So we are getting close, and I don't know about you, but especially with the immense heat that we've had, I cannot wait to wake up on one of those Saturday mornings in like mid-October.
Oh God, yeah.
Where you got to throw some sweatpants on and a hoodie on. Might have a little outdoor TV where you go watch college game day.
Like, put together a fire outside.
Yeah, dude,
gosh.
Smelling
the bonfire, waking up, all your clothes smell like a bonfire. That's the beautiful part. That's the beautiful, beautiful nature of college football season. Or football season in general, really.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Not even just that. It doesn't even stop there. You get your full Saturday. You go to sleep and then you wake up and you get to do it all over again for 7 or 8
once
hours.
Once we get Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday, potential Friday games, we get on to Saturday, we go into Sunday, watch NFL. It's beautiful. You can't beat it. You just really can't.
No, you definitely can't. And this year, I'm sure you've seen the schedule as well. Basically, from December 20th to January 20th, I believe December 20th is when the college football playoffs start, to January 20th, we're pretty much alternating college football playoff games and in end-of-season NFL/NFL playoff games. Like, that month of our lives is going to be beautiful, and you'll have a newborn baby also.
Yes, that is true. That is true. So that's something I have to look forward to. I'm talking with Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM. With that Michigan notice of allegations, I'm sure you saw all that. We have 7 different level 1 violations. 5 coaches, including Jim Harbaugh, have a level 1 violation. We had 52 deleted text messages from Sherrone Moore, the new coach at Michigan. Connor Stallions, apparently, and in that Michigan program, scouted 58 times illegally in a 3-year period. What do you think comes of this? That's my ultimate question. I know it's hard to tell exactly because the NCAA has lost its teeth over the years, but what do you think actually happens here?
Yeah, that's you said the NCAA has lost their teeth over the last couple of years, and that's kind of what I'm wondering, because if there was ever a case where they were to actually do something impactful and meaningful as far as making an example out of somebody or whatever, you could see this being it. And we downplayed this stuff
during
the season.
Real quick, I hate to cut you off, but I still think Michigan was the best team in college football last year.
Yeah.
I still think
I agree with that, but we didn't know to the extent with what this was happening. It was like, okay, this is not really a big deal, but you see, like you said, 58 times over 3 years is pretty excessive. Like,
yes.
That's a little
It's unnecessary,
ridiculous.
Even. You're not playing all those teams.
No, so it's a little bit more in-depth than we originally thought or were originally led to believe. And so with that, and with Jim Harbaugh leaving also, which I think that tells you all you need to know about, he knew that the hammer was coming down.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the actual outcome is, what the actual punishment is, like, he knew it was about to go south. It had obviously already started to go south when he was suspended for multiple games during the season. But he knew that that was the tip of the iceberg and that it was going to get worse. So if there was a time, because you know the NCAA hates feeling powerless like they have over the last several years, if there was a time for them to do it, I think it would probably be now. But there's still that part of me that with how soft they've been over the last several years, it's just like, did they do it again? Did they suspend Sherrone Moore for a couple games and maybe revoke some scholarships or whatever, you know, limit some scholarships or whatever. Is it that much of a slap on the wrist, or do they go harder? Do they suspend Sherrone Moore for a season or for 10 games or for something like that? I really don't have a prediction because I feel like, okay, it's going to be a slap on the wrist somehow. Like, this is the team that just won the national championship. Michigan is expected to be one of the best teams in the country again this year. They're one of the biggest names in college football, one of the biggest fan bases in college football. It's hard for me to see them coming down hard, even though that's probably what should happen.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. I listen, I don't feel that bad for Sherrone Moore through this whole thing, because he obviously played his own part in it. 52 deleted text messages, multiple hard drives just completely thrown out and destroyed. They tried to hide the evidence. But I do kind of feel a little bit bad for Sherrone Moore. I mean, after that Penn State game, he's booger crying, and then you have Jim Harbaugh leave, and he was like, the crying he did after Penn State was all about, oh, I want to hug Jim Harbaugh right now. He gave me my career, and then Jim Harbaugh leaves him behind. That doesn't seem like the best friendly thing to do if you're best friends with somebody.
No, it doesn't, unless there was some behind-closed-doors agreement, which is certainly possible in the world of college.
So, like, you mean sort of one of us has to be behind to take this
right.
punishment?
Like, hey, buddy, it's coming down, and it's coming down quick, and somebody's got to stay back.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty well-respected in this world. I've got a lot of accomplishments, been to a Super Bowl, won a national championship now, been extremely successful in the NFL and at the collegiate level. It's not going to be me. It's going to be you. You've never been a true head coach for a game. You've been an interim head coach for a few games. You're going to have to stay back and take one for the team.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
I almost think that is the case. I buy into that very heavily. But I also think there's another case you can make about if they would have hired from outside of the facility, outside of the program, maybe they could have avoided a little bit of it. you know, self-reported, have a completely new staff in there, nobody who is implicated in this, do the Tennessee route with Jeremy Pruitt. Obviously, different situations altogether because this is a cheating scandal on the field that no one has ever, like, this is unprecedented. But yeah, I could see a realm or a possibility if they would have gotten somebody else from outside of the program, you could have wiped your hands clean a little bit more as the Michigan Athletics Department or the Michigan football program.
Yeah, like you said, why not go the Tennessee route? It is exactly what they did. You look at when the allegations happened with Jeremy Pruitt and his staff, Tennessee self-reported and clean house from the AD through the entire football staff. Philip Fulmer was let go. Danny White was brought in. Heupel and his staff were brought in. So they completely avoided it by having no one left to point the finger at. There was no one left on the staff or in the athletic department to say, okay, we can do something to you because you were around and you knew what was going on. So the Michigan chose the opposite route. They chose to put the guy in charge who was right in the thick of things. And I guess we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if that's the smartest move or the best move. Also, we talked about this last time on the podcast. They didn't self-report or anything like that. And they kind of doubled down. And you mentioned, you know, busting hard drives, deleting text messages. Like, they hindered the investigation, which cannot work in their favor. So it's a completely different situation than at Tennessee because they did everything they could to avoid having punishment, and Michigan's kind of made it easier to punish them.
Yes, self-reporting is probably the best way to go about this thing. But Michigan was acting like victims the entire time. I didn't expect them to self-report. That's the biggest thing. You know, they last year used it as a rallying cry to go win a natty.
They doubled down in the biggest way possible. They used it all year. The coaches, you saw the tweets from the coaches and stuff. You saw a ton of tweets from the players when Jim Harbaugh was first suspended for those games and then just throughout the season in the playoffs and after they won the national championship. So the NCAA does not take kindly to that. Like, they mocked them the entire time all the way to winning a national championship, which is pretty awesome, like, in a sense, when it's like, okay, the NCAA is trying to get on to you and you're just kind of giving them the bird the whole time. To me, that's a little bit funny, even if you're in the wrong. But I don't see them liking that too much. I think even with the toothless NCAA that we know now, they're going to try to do whatever they can to do more than slap the wrist to Michigan, because they've got to be right now like, oh, we got you. Like, we caught you in every way possible, and there are way too many people here that were here last year that we can go after.
Yeah. Now, final thing, I want to get to some Tiger basketball. It's been a quiet news off season for Tiger basketball, which is a good thing. Like, that is a good thing. It means less drama and less sort of back and forth, less moving pieces. That's nice. But I saw Bart Torvik, who did not like the team last year, even though there was a perceived lift in talent a year ago. You had a bunch of guys from different places. You had a Lou Henson Award winner, best player in the mid-major in Jordan Brown. You had a sixth man of the year in the SEC in Javon Quinterly. You had plenty of good talent. But this year, Bart Torvik likes this team with Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Barack Okoji, Nick Jordan. Likes it a lot more. Has them ranked at number 26 in his sort of preseason Bart Torvik rankings. Did that surprise you at least a tad bit?
I mean, maybe a little bit just because of the lack of star power this year versus last year. But when you dig deeper into the metrics, it makes total sense. And we said, I don't know how many times we said square peg in a round hole last year, but it had to exceed 25. We said it pretty much every week on here. We said it pretty much every week on the podcast. That was last season from when the roller coaster started going downhill until the end. It was clear that Penny and the staff were trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. And I don't think that's the case this year. Last year, you were trying to take a team with a ton of offensive talent and a ton of name recognition and turn them into a defensive all-star team, and that was never going to happen because it wasn't where they excelled. This year, you're taking lesser-known players from a national perspective, but they are all players who have exceeded at a specific role at their other stops. Whatever they were asked to do at their other stop, whether it was play defense and not be, you know, a high scoring player, or, you know, for PJ Haggerty specifically, like run and lead the entire show, from Tyree Turner at Texas to really being a facilitator and kind of holding the entire offense together just from moving the ball and from scoring in spots when needed. Like, there's so many different roles on this team that were occupied at previous stops that it gives you confidence in what they can do in Penny's system and in the role that they're going to be asked to fulfill this upcoming season. So even though on paper, like talent-wise, name recognition, it's not the same caliber of team, I think it's a better overall, more well-constructed team. And I think that's a testament to Penny and the staff being able to learn from their mistakes of last year and saying, okay, we're not going to go try to redo that. That formula obviously did not work. So how can we adjust and how can we do a better job of bringing in transfers? If that's going to be our marquee, at least for now, is these big overhaul classes where it's basically an entirely new team, how can we do it more effectively than we did last year? There's got to be a better way. And I think when you look at the advanced metrics, when you just go watch film on what these players did last year or in previous years, they got players that are better suited for what they want to do at Memphis and also are better suited to gel together, because that was not the case last year. That team really never gelled completely. They never really had the chemistry that you want to see from a higher level team. It never came. And you look at this team this year and how you don't really see them stepping on each other's toes, at least from what they've done at their previous schools. It just makes sense that metrics and numbers like this team better than they did last year's team.
Yeah, I think so. It's just a better fitting team for what Penny Hardaway wants to do. And Bart Torvik sees it. And I learned my lesson with Bart Torvik last year. He was right most of the way, even though he didn't have them moving up his rankings and his projections when they had that great out-of-conference schedule. I was wondering why. And then we saw why once they got into conference season, to see them ranked high in this Bart Torvik metric, which is now going to be part of the way the committee decides who gets into the tournament and who gets left out. That's nice to see. That's nice to see. But Christian, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for hopping on. Will we be able to do this again next week?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be here.
Cool. Sounds good. Appreciate it, man.
Yep. See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. That's Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Make sure you check out our podcast, the On the Bluff podcast. Comes out every single Tuesday at noon. Apple, Spotify, full-length video version is on YouTube. Now we need to go ahead and hop into the Blitz in just a moment. And we have talks in the NBA around a potential NBA FIBA crossover tournament in season. That should be interesting. And then also, definitely worth mentioning, we will be able to talk about this Brandon Ayuk story as it continues to turn. Brandon Ayuk, according to NFL Network and Tom Pelissero, he's more likely to be traded than sign an extension with the 49ers. Where does he get traded to if he does get traded? We'll discuss that next. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
And always remember, the Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show is brought to you by Sissy's Log Cabin. Connor, let's hop into it.
Talks surrounding the potential FIBA NBA crossover league or annual tournament are ramping up.
I tend to like this, but what bothers me about the whole thing, until Noah Lyles opened his mouth and talked about world championships and the NBA claiming that the NBA championship was a world championship, did we even think about this? Was this even a thought out there to bring teams in, you know, Real Madrid and all these teams over into the United States, or we go over there? This was never a thought before Noah Lyles brought this about, right? I hate to almost put it on the NBA's doorstep saying you're really just trying to prove Noah Lyles wrong, but it kind of feels that way with where we're at in this sports calendar. Yeah. Right around the Olympics, they make this announcement. The talks are ramping up. I will say this, though. Yeah, I like it, and I like sort of the USA versus everybody thought process and, you know, team versus team, and you could win a world championship, but I don't think it'll be overly competitive. I don't see this being competitive at all. If these players that play for Real Madrid that are overseas right now were good enough, you know where they'd be playing?
They'd be playing in the NBA. They'd be draft picks. So I just don't see this being close. My other question would be, what rules are we going to play by? What rules are we?
FIBA? I'm assuming FIBA.
We'd play by the FIBA rules.
Right.
That would be kind of interesting. And I think, you know, it's a good time to do that with the world catching up little by little to the United States in basketball talent. Again, the last two drafts, two players from France were the first overall pick. The second player in this year's draft was from France. So I can see where this is a good time to capitalize on this. I think it'll do better than the in-season tournament if it ultimately comes to fruition. But past that, we're going to have to see more competition. We're going to have to see it more, be more competitive over the years before I think people latch on to it consistently.
Yeah, that's my worry. As an idea, it's a novel idea. It's a fun idea. But is it going to be competitive? Is it actually going to be entertaining? Because right now, during the Olympics, when Team USA plays other teams, they're pretty much playing teams that have NBA players on them still. Like, there's a record number of NBA players this year in the Olympics. But when you're playing just teams from overseas, they might not have anybody with NBA experience on those rosters. And it just feels like it could become ugly very fast. And I just don't know if it's going to have rewatchability after, like, one time.
With the amount of ground the world has made up since the beginning of the 2000s, I think, you know, in another 10, 15, 20 years, maybe they can catch up even a little bit more.
That is true.
You know, eventually maybe it could be competitive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I think the first couple of years of this type of tournament, though, will be a bloodbath for the NBA team.
Can we just be completely honest about it? Why would the NBA do this? Is there really anything to gain from it, or is there just something to lose?
That's a good question, Connor. I don't know. I think you could gain eyeballs, and I think you could get that nationalism sort of watching where people really latch on to, oh, USA, USA.
Right.
We're watching the NBA with the best talent. We want to see them win. We want to prove the rest of the world wrong that they're actually catching up to us. So you could get that. And more viewers and a decent TV deal. So that's to gain. But if you lose, you do have a fair amount to lose. You could put yourself in a position where people start questioning the NBA talent. I don't think that would happen. But you could put yourself in a position where if you do lose some of these games, people will think lesser of your product.
Right. Well, just because in the short term, yeah, you want to show that the world champion moniker is actually, you know, it's valid to have for an NBA champion. But at the end of the day, I just have, it's a bit awkward just to be like, okay, bring your teams over here so our NBA champions can just whoop up on you. You know what I mean? And it's
They're all for it, though, let's be honest.
Well, how do the international players feel about it?
I would imagine great.
You think so?
Well, I mean, look at what they do around the Olympics. I know it's a little different. It's the all-star team from each particular, you know, country. But, like, they get to compete against the best of the best. They get to share a floor with LeBron James and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant.
I'm talking about the NBA players that are international.
Okay.
Like, how's Kristaps Porzingis going to feel basically being like...
whooping up on...
Yeah. Like, oh, it's my job to try to embarrass the European teams? Because that's kind of the goal here.
You're worried about the international players that are in the NBA right now that would have to play for the NBA team.
It just feels like you're kind of hiring them for hit. I don't know. Like, it's a bit awkward, I suppose. I am much... Here's what I'll say. Of all the ideas that have been offered in the last few days, like, I am all for watching an NBA team prove... Noah Lyles wrong with what he said. I get it. I understand that. But that feels like a one-off. Like, I'm not sure we need a whole tournament to prove that or a whole series
and
to prove that.
Maybe
we do like once. Maybe it's like once every 4 years or something like that we do this. What I am far more interested in is the three-on-three stuff. Like Ice Cube telling them, the gold medal team, hey, come play our best three-on-three players, and let's see who's at.
I think that the big three is far more interesting to me. I think that the big three would kick their ass. Quite frankly,
I am far more interested in that. Now, well, if you're playing with the Olympic rules, it could get a little tricky because I do think that those are different.
Yeah,
but I'm far more interested in that because it actually feels like you're kind of showing something there. I am all for, you know, Eagle Screech and proving the rest of the world wrong.
Right.
But I just, after one game, I think we're all going to be like, oh, man, oh, this that was kind of, oh, that was rough.
It was like, 120-75. That's not fun.
I mean, it's basically being like, NFL's going to go play a Canadian football team. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I also wonder about, like, how they're going to sort of run the tournament alongside, whether it's an in-season tournament or an off-season tournament. I wonder how they're going to go about that, because that's not a lot of rest, and that's more games. And if you are a proponent of players should be playing 82 games and they should never leave the floor, this could make it worse. If you're playing even extra games against international teams, or if you don't have an off-season and you have to do this every single off-season, I don't think that would be the best best venture for the NBA, who already has issues with putting their best players on the floor every night.
Do we actually think this happens?
Seems like there's some positive trends toward it happening. It seems like it's very possible.
Is the only way it happens if the NBA's like, we'll pay y'all to come over? It feels like Alabama being like,
so
we'll play Georgia
Here's the other part of it, though, for the NBA. How much will you have to pay them when you are raising their viability as a product? You're raising who they are, that team. You're raising them up by having them play against NBA competition. You get more eyeballs on those foreign teams when they're playing against, you know, the teams here in the United States. They're playing against a global brand. I think that's built-in money for them, getting more eyeballs.
Sure. Realistically, though, what are these teams really going to gain? Because it's not like any of us are going to watch these games and be like, you know what, I'm going to be rolling with the Spain team now. No,
well,
we're going to stay.
They gain.
It's different than soccer.
They gain an attempt to knock off an NBA team and show that they are a viable basketball team, and they gain more eyeballs. It's just natural. I think some of these games would be way higher rated than what they're dealing with when they're in their home countries.
I guess so.
So I think there's some built-in money to it, besides the money they'd actually have to pay for them to come over here or for us to go over there.
I guess I'm just really hesitant to think that after one game, the rest of them are going to be like, oh, yeah, this is a great idea for us. Because it's what they're going to lose by a lot.
I don't even think this would be a thought process. I don't think that this
would
be...
Or is it just money?
I don't think this would be even a thought if some of these foreign teams were not behind it to a certain extent. I'd have to imagine a lot of these players that are in these foreign countries want those eyeballs, want that attempt to go beat the likes of the Denver Nuggets, want to go beat the Los Angeles Lakers. That means something to them.
Yeah. I'm just hesitant about
okay.
it, I guess.
We'll see.
Because I understand the idea, and I think it's a novel idea, but the practicality of it, I just have a few questions about. Because, like, the ramping up of it, does that just mean that the NBA is open to it, or have there actually been discussions about it?
I would imagine.
Which league would you start it with?
Listen, I would imagine there's some level of discussion between some of these foreign leagues and the NBA about making this happen.
Maybe
I don't think this is just hatched by the NBA. Like, how about y'all come over here every year and we kick your ass? I don't think that's the conversation that's being had.
It's kind of the conversation, though.
but I think some of these teams that play by FIBA rules in different countries probably have had their say in this and think that it's a viable option, viable idea.
Brandon Ayuk more likely to be traded than sign extension with the 49ers.
Okay, so where does he go? Your guess is as good as mine. Apparently, that was reported by Tom Pelissero, of course, of NFL Network. But apparently the 49ers have the framework of a Brandon Ayuk trade with both the Browns and the Patriots. The reason those two have not come to fruition is Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to sign an extension with the Browns or the Patriots right this second. What's really interesting about this situation is Brandon Ayuk has a lot of leverage, for the most part, about where he can end up, because these teams are not going to go through with the trade if they don't know on the front end that Brandon Ayuk's going to sign a extension for $28 million to $30 million a year, which is sort of what I expect him to get out there on the open market. But the 49ers are actually expecting a fair amount in return. You know, if you look at the Steelers and the trade possibilities, I think it was a second rounder and a fifth rounder and Calvin Austin the third that would go back to the 49ers. We talked about it yesterday. Calvin Austin in a 49ers uniform, kind of like the thought of Kyle Shanahan.
A lot of fun.
Exploiting a 4-2 or a 4-3 40. But it looks like the 49ers are expecting a veteran player and then multiple picks. So I wonder who's going to be out there ready to pay that. I'm telling you, I think the Steelers really need to think about this. They really need to go in hard and see if it's going to be worth it. Because if Justin Fields is doing what we are being told he's doing via the reports out of Steelers training camp, you may have your quarterback for the future. And what do you want to do for your quarterback in the future? You don't just want him throwing to George Pickens and Roman Wilson. You want to see if you can go find another guy on the open market like Brandon Ayuk, who's one of the best separators in the NFL at this particular moment in time. So if Justin Fields is worth investing in based on what they've seen in camp, they should go ahead and make that trade and try to get that wide receiver room, that skill position group, right for him going into the future.
The only other two teams that I've seen the Browns floated.
Sure.
And a trade would include Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah. Does that make the Browns better, trading Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk?
I don't know. But maybe gives them
more of a future?
It gives them more of a future because Amari Cooper is probably headed probably going to head down here.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
He's going to cross that 30-year-old plateau.
Yeah, he's dead!
Yes,
as we all know from the quote yesterday that we read. I mean, once you turn 30 years old, you might as well be dead in the NFL. And then the second team's the Patriots.
Yes, and I don't think that Brandon...
You don't think so?
Why the hell would Brandon...
Well, it's been...
That?
It's so funny because the way it's been positioned... And if you told somebody this 10 years ago, they'd be like, what the hell happened in the NFL? It's being positioned as the Browns give you the best chance to win, but you get more money with the Patriots. And if you told that to someone a decade ago and be like, this is the conversation we're having now,
they'd say Bill Belichick,
Did Belichick die? Yeah. Kind of. Yeah, a little bit.
Yes, he's no longer there. So it's a change in time. That is a good point. The other team that is sort of the dark horse here, Washington Commanders.
Really?
And you want to know why?
Ooh.
Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels? They used to play together at Arizona State, so there's that built-in camaraderie and understanding of each other.
That'd be a pretty good receiver room.
Terry McLaurin and him?
Pretty
good. You have a new coach?
Good.
You're
Not
heading
bad.
Into the future?
Not bad.
I think Brandon Ayuk would probably sign that contract. It feels like the two teams you brought up, the Patriots and the Browns, Brandon Ayuk has no interest in signing an extension with them. Feels like the two teams that really could make a run for Brandon Ayuk are the Commanders and the Steelers.
I would like to see the Steelers.
Which one of those two is going to actually make a run and make something happen?
I would like to see the Steelers.
I think both of them have the ability going into the future to have their quarterback figured out, and Brandon Ayuk would help that quarterback along the way.
And you got George Pickens
there? I think it would be worth the money for both of those teams.
Oh, yeah.
They just have to decide what they want to trade on the front end to ultimately pay Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
But I think Brandon Ayuk would say yes to both those teams. Browns and Pats, sorry. sounds like you've had a plan for this for a while and it hasn't come through. Doesn't seem like it'll go through ever because Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to play for you. But this is going to be something fun to watch for the next couple of days. I think a trade is very likely to happen at this point. I think a trade is very likely to happen because the 49ers are not going to sign him to an extension based on a lot of the reports we're hearing from sources in the NFL. But let's go ahead and grab a break on that note, and we'll come back and wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show with The Rewind right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.